quickly. Wonderful. Wonderful. May give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us when we believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. I want to look at two scriptures tonight. When we talk about the spirit of wisdom and revelation, we're talking about the wisdom and revelation that comes in the Holy Spirit, not just the reading and the knowledge of it, because that won't give you power.
Right.
It won't even give you power to stay safe or to be safe. There's a certain amount of the spirit has to give you. You have to have the spirit's wisdom behind the word of God. And revelation, and here's the thing about it: the Spirit is such that when He comes and gives you the wisdom and the revelation of the Word of God that you have, the revelation. Revelation means, very simply, when you get revelation, things become real.
Yes.
And I want to show you two people tonight, if I can. I'm going to show you two people tonight, if I have time for a few minutes. And I'm going to show you the difference. And the first one I'm going to show you is the Apostle Paul. And I'm going to go to Acts for both of them. And the first one in Acts I'm going to be in is Acts chapter 22 and 23.
All right.
And I'm going to make it very quick. After Acts 22 and verse 3. Acts 22 and 3. I get so comfortable when I'm in promise until I feel out of place when I'm not. The Apostle Paul, Saul as he was, everyone knows how Saul was met by Jesus on the Damascus Road. And there are a lot of things about it, but when you really study it and read it more than once, and when you read it and spend some time in it, and don't just take my word for what I say, and that's the end of your sermon. Once you go home and actually read it, you find out that when Christ appeared to Saul, there's so many things you can go on forever. You can talk about the fact that when Jesus shows up, He shows up at noonday, and He's brighter than the sun. We can preach just about Him showing up at noonday,
yeah,
and being brighter than the sun. Because I can tell you how, when you're in the best days of your life, it's noonday. And when Christ shows up, He's brighter than your life.
Yes.
No matter how good it is. He shows up not in the midnight hour and He's bright, but He shows up at noonday when it's light and everything seems to be going on all right. And Paul is going about his business. He's not starving. He's got status. He's on his way from Jerusalem. He has a charter. He's got an entourage. And when Jesus shows up, He's brighter than Paul's life.
Right.
Yes, He is. So we like to talk about He's just bright when you're going through. But that's not my sermon for tonight. He says in this, when he recounts it, because he recounts this not twice in Acts, but three times in Acts, and then 22 is another one. He says, "And verily I'm a man which am born a Jew." Everybody see where I am?
Yes.
And Paul is I'll start from one. "Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense which I will make now." And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he said, "I'm truly a man which am a Jew." I'm Jewish myself.
born in Tarsus of the city of Cilicia, which is Turkey, brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, which is the best teacher you got, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as ye all this day. And I persecuted this way until the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the state of the elders from whom I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound into Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Now, Ellisville, you know, a long time ago, I was preaching, and we were talking about how Paul's mind, Saul's mind, was made up about Jesus being dead.
Yeah.
Wasn't there doubt in his mind? He saw him dead, was probably there at the cross. His mind was made up about Jesus being dead.
Yes, yeah.
Never mind, but the same Saul whose mind is made up about Jesus being dead also knows what Isaiah said.
Yes, yeah.
He was wounded. He knows what Zechariah said. Says, what are these wounds that are in your hands? He says, these are received in the hands of my friends.
Yeah.
He knows what the scriptures, he knows the word. He understands how the Son of God would come. He knows what the Messiah means. He knows what Isaiah said when he said, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call him. He's full of word.
Yes.
Yet to him Jesus is dead. Peter. You can stay there for a moment, I'll come back to look at Peter. I might be all going to be through. Acts the fourth chapter.
Acts 4.
And verse 13. If everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Look up so I know you got it. 4:13. Now we can read. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now the reason why, if you go on back, you start to see how in verse 2, 4 and 2, and being grieved, they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead, and laid hands on them, and you know, they caught them and they put them in jail. And you go further back, you start to see how they laid hands on the sick man, and he at the gate beautiful, and raised him up and had some power. But when you look at them, they're unlearned and ignorant men.
Yeah.
Didn't have a whole lot.
Yeah.
Had not been taught by Gamaliel. Were not sent out as envoys speaking for the priests, but there was a difference. They had revelation.
Yes.
They had been with Jesus.
Yes.
And Saul knew all the word, but he had never until that time ever been
with Jesus.
When the spirit of wisdom and revelation, when you get the Holy Ghost's revelation, you have lots of people who read the Bible more than once. They know what it says. If you watch Star Trek, you know Gene Roddenberry read the Bible. If you watch The Twilight Zone, you know Rod Serling read the Bible. If you do any of these, you know, when you read Milton, you know Milton knew the Bible. And so forth. Ben Turner says he read twice. Does that make sense to him? No revelation.
No revelation.
Why not? Because knowledge can come just by me reading it, but the revelation comes from the Holy Ghost.
Yes, right.
And a lot of, and here's the difference. When the Holy Ghost comes, it's when you start to know that Jesus is real. So that no matter where you, even, you know, when you're down, And no matter how far down you go, and you keep going down, and the devil, it brings back to your mind, if more people would read the Bible, I wish everybody would read the Bible. I was listening to Sister Shantanek. She was talking about fasting for 40 days, and I said to myself, you know, I know what the 17th chapter of Matthew says. He says, this kind goes not out but by prayer and fasting. And I understand that.
Yes.
And it's not just talking about demons. It's talking about you don't grow unless you pray and fast.
Yeah, yes.
When the Holy Ghost comes, I remember the day I got saved. It wasn't the first time I heard the word of God. But the eyes of my understanding became enlightened, and the light came on. And when Paul is on the Damascus Road, and at noonday when Jesus shows up, all this time, Sister Lynn, until now, he's been going along with all the people who had all the reasons why Jesus is not the Son of God, and how he is dead of an assurance, and how he will say to them, I don't know how the disciples rolled away the stone. It doesn't matter. I know Jesus is dead. And I don't know what they did with the body. It doesn't matter. I know he's dead.
Yes.
And I don't know where he is, but I know that he's dead. I know he's not alive because I saw him on the cross.
Yeah.
And I'm not reading it in the Bible where I have a choice of believing he's dead or not. I saw him laying there, round with the crusted blood. He's dead. And no matter what anyone comes along and says to me about him being resurrected, I'm not going to believe it. And I know the word says that after 3 days and three nights, he's going to be resurrected. And I know the prophecy says, but I also know he's dead. You can know what the word says. But until the Holy Ghost comes and gives that word life, spirit, wisdom, and revelation. Not just wisdom and knowledge, speak of power. Would to God it would. You could read your way into being a healer.
Yeah.
Wisdom and knowledge equals power. You can read your, I can read the word, I can understand the word, power.
Yeah.
He says, the spirit,
yeah,
wisdom, and the spirit, yeah, revelation.
Yeah.
So that it becomes real. So when Paul sees Jesus on the Damascus Road, now all of a sudden, Jesus is, in the words of the song, Jesus is real.
Yeah.
It didn't matter that all the people who sent him turned against him, Jesus is real.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter that they beat him 39 times, save one or whatever it was, Jesus is real.
Yes.
And it didn't matter what they did to him. You can't make Jesus be unreal to me because I met him.
Yes.
When the Holy Ghost comes in, this is why people fall away. We think that we can teach you into being sustained. I'm not saying you don't believe enough to be saved. But this is what Paul is saying. He says, I'm praying for you. He says, because you believe just like we believe, and you receive the first fruits of the Spirit, the earnest of the Spirit. He says, now I'm praying that you'll get the Spirit's wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that you'll know what the hope of his calling is, how great his inheritance is, and what his great power is. He's saying, because if you don't get all that, you won't stand.
Yeah, yeah.
If the Holy Ghost doesn't come in at some point, so that heaven is real, so that no matter what temptation may come, and when it comes, it may draw you for a moment, but as you're going, you keep saying, but if I do this, I can't go to heaven.
Yeah, that's right.
And you don't wonder to yourself, well, maybe there is a... No, when the Holy Ghost is, if the Holy Ghost has ever come in, heaven becomes real, and it's not a debatable point. And when someone comes along that will debate with you whether or not heaven is real, you'll say, that's not something I need to entertain.
You're right.
That's right.
It's as real as if you were to come along and say to me, Mr. Smith, you're not really black. You're just a really deeply tanned white person. And I can explain to you why. Because the pigmentation in your skin, when you go out in the sun, it's darker than most white people's skin. And because of that, you have a rare genetic disease, and it's causing you to look like that. And although all your life you seem to have thought that you were somehow black, but you're not really black. You're really, it just seems like you are, but it isn't. And I'm going to say, you know, like, this is nonsense.
That's right.
This makes no sense.
No.
And so they come back the next day and say, well, I came to talk to you some more about being white. And by now you're saying, no, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
When are you going to tell the devil, I don't want to hear it?
You
came yesterday, tried to tell me heaven wasn't real. And because I was polite and heard you out, here you come again today.
Yeah.
Tell me, but I know. Because I have received the Spirit's wisdom.
Yeah.
And so what's the Spirit's wisdom? If it had not been for God, I wouldn't be where I am. Wisdom of the Spirit dictates to me that my life would not be what it is if it had not been for God. The wisdom of the Holy Ghost says to me, if I had not died already, I'd be wasted in sin. And when I look back at my life and how the Lord has kept me, the wisdom of the Spirit says, if it had not been God who kept me, no one would have.
No one would have. That's right.
Oh, hey, I'm just lucky, I guess.
Ain't no luck.
God.
It comes to the point where you start to be concerned. Because the hope of his calling, the eternal life, and Sean, don't be afraid to say the word, the immortality.
Yeah.
See, saints don't like to use it. They don't like to say immortality because they watch too many zombie movies and see the undead.
Yeah.
With Dracula and all this foolishness. And so when we start talking about living forever, it doesn't want to quite crunch in there. So people want to say we're going to be living forever, but like a spirit or something that's incorporeal without a body. But the whole point of the resurrection and the reason why he had them handle him and touch him is so that they know that his body was no longer mortal, but his body was immortal. His body.
Yes.
When we are caught up where it isn't my soul or my spirit that needs to be quickened, they live forever. It's my body.
Yes.
We shall be changed from a mortal to an immortal. So now, you know, the devil gets busy and he wants to put all these movies out about immortal beings and all this kind of stuff. I don't have to get you, all I have to do is get you to doubt.
Yes, that's right.
All I have to do is get you to. So the devil comes along and says, well, what about all these other religions? What about all these whatevers? Well,
yes, he does.
Me and Sean to talk about a lot. I'm going to stop one of the shortcomings of Pentecostal churches in all my life is they like to make it so that unless you're not only saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, which I fully believe in, but they also tack on all these other do's and don'ts.
Yes.
And they unsave everybody but them.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not going to do that anymore.
All right.
Because my Bible tells me that if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that God the Father raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It didn't say nothing about rolling around. It didn't say nothing about, I'm going to say it, it didn't say about speaking in tongues. I believe in speaking in tongues. I speak in tongues. You are the one to speak in tongues. It's refreshing. But that wasn't one of the requirements that was there about being saved. I'm the wrong person to come talking to. Don't preach me no. Don't come in a walk-up sermon, because one day I did walk up.
You're right. We all did.
I'm the wrong one.
Yeah,
I heard it enough.
That's right.
Because one day I did walk up.
I did walk up.
And I didn't know what to know now.
Yes.
And he saved me.
Yes.
And Peter and John didn't know what Paul knew,
yes,
but they were saved. And miracles happened.
Yes.
And the Spirit moved.
Yes.
And Paul had been in all his life sitting at the feet of Gamaliel.
Yes.
And yet Jesus wasn't even alive to him.
Yeah.
John and Peter had power.
Yeah.
We're saved by the grace of God.
Yeah.
These are Ephesians, and that's what he says in the second chapter of Ephesians.
Yeah,
and he lets them know. He says, since you believe, he says that you receive the earnest of the Spirit. Didn't say they've done anything else. They have believed that Jesus is the Christ and that he was alive and had been resurrected. And he said, now I'm going to pray for you so that you'll stay, that the Holy Ghost will come in more. They have them. If you're saved, you got the Holy Ghost. But they didn't have him like they need to have him. So how much are we supposed to have him? He comes in, but he has to kick you out. And he has to, when he comes in, what's hindering him is you. And you got to let him come in. And you got to let him start to lead you. And God, I'm so tired of people who like to keep you handicapped. So like you just got to have to keep you spiritual handicapped. Like you can't say a Bible verse unless you hear them say it first. I'm sick of that. Can't read a chapter in the Bible unless you read it first.
That's right.
What's the Holy Ghost for?
That's what he's for.
Yes. Can't get a revelation that you got it first.
Yes.
Scared to get up and repeat anything that I have a hair here first.
Right.
People have been preaching this Bible for thousands of years.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
we make the circle of saved people small, just in the parameters that we ourselves find ourselves in. If we preach about the things and whittle everybody down, so we limit the world to being stealing, killing, fornication, and going to movies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You forgot about the money.
That's right.
Which you crave.
Yes.
You forgot about the power.
Yes.
Which you love.
Yes.
You forgot about the competition. Oh, God, you better hope that the grace of God covers people who are competitive. Because
yes,
we got competitive people in high places.
Yes. Yes.
You better pray that God will us. But I'm not worried about it, because the grace of God is such that he forgives them. And if he forgives you for your emulation, he forgives other people for theirs as well.
Yeah, that's right.
We could shut down huge populations just by telling you not to lie anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And be honest with all men. Well, I'm not a liar. Half a truth is a whole lie.
Yeah.
And if you don't tell, I didn't say that. I just left it out. I didn't say that. But you let me believe a lie.
Yeah.
That's right.
But I'm out here for all that tonight. I'm just going to tell
you.
It doesn't take a whole lot of wisdom. It doesn't take a whole lot of book learning to be saved.
That's right.
Doesn't take all these rules. Well, unless nothing. Thou wilt confess with thy mouth.
Yes, that's right.
Now go tell somebody I preach.
Because
it's the word of God.
Yes,
the word of God. Stop asking, because the Bible also puts in that don't take away nothing.
Right.
If thou wilt, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Because he makes the point. Sit down here beside you. He makes the point. He says, I know what you're going to do. You're going to go so far as to start telling people they got to go all the way to him to bring Jesus down.
Yes.
And you're going to make so many rules on them, they're going to be thinking they got to go down in a sin and bring him back up.
He says,
you're not going to stop but a little bit. When they get to this point, he says, because you're always raise the bar.
Yes.
So you'll always be high.
Right.
And when they start praying for an hour, you're going to start telling them they're not saved unless they pray 2 hours.
Right.
And when they start crying out to God and speaking in tongues for 15 minutes, you're going to say, but you got to speak in tongues all day.
Yes.
And no matter what they do, you're going to keep adding. Because that's what emulation does.
Yes.
It makes you compete. You always want to be in front of everybody. So you keep adding to it.
Yep.
And then when you turn around, can't nobody be saved but you. And everybody else is striving. And they're not striving to be saved in God. They're striving to keep up with you.
Yeah, that's right.
I ain't doing that no more. You want to do that? Go ahead. Go ahead. Keep on doing it. And you're saved.
Yes.
And you're going to heaven.
Yes.
But while you're doing that, you could be fasting and praying that T. Angela Rogers be healed.
Yes.
You could be fasting and praying that Ella Montgomery will get up off that bed.
That's right, yes.
You could be fasting and praying that all these people all around you would get a touch from the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
You could be fasting and praying and say, Lord, instead of me going someplace and showing out, showing my power and how deep I am, I wonder if I can pray to this man over here. Will somehow or another come over and talk to me across the fence, and he'll get saved.
Yes.
And Lord, while I'm showing out with my power, give me the power that I can draw folk off, because I know all around you, people all around you, a lot of sinners, all of them not hungry and thirsty for righteousness, but somebody must be hungry and thirsty for righteousness, because this is where the church is.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
I don't need to drive 1,500 miles to find somebody to preach to. They're across the street.
Yeah, that's right.
I need the power to get the folk across the street.
Yes.
And you go on up to wherever you want to go.
Yeah, hallelujah.
I'm going to preach to the people that are where I am.
Yes.
Because that's where God put me.
Yes.
That's where he put me.
Yes, that's right.
How did I have to get to be 68 years old and be saved for 37 years to come to it? So that I can rest in knowing that where God put me is where I'm supposed to be.
Yes.
And that I'm saved because God saved me and not because you declared me saved.
Right. That's right.
I got the Holy Ghost because God gave me the Holy Ghost and not because you declared. Oh, I think you got it.
Yes.
I don't care what you think. I got it.
Alright.
And you can't fund it for me.
That's right.
The spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's why I know what my hope is.
Yes.
My hope is in God.
Yes.
You know why? I'm going to tell you one of the easiest things in the world. If you're not careful with the Holy Ghost, when I talk about heaven, you see heaven. When I talk about heaven, you see heaven.
Yes.
You see heaven. Everybody believes in heaven. You see heaven. And you read what it says in Revelation in the different places, and you picture in your mind what heaven is like.
Yes.
Who would I be to come along and tell you, now this is the way you got to see heaven. You got to look like this. This is the way you got to, this is what heaven's really like. Have you been there?
No.
I'm reading the same word you read. And the Holy Ghost is revealing to me heaven just like it's revealing to you.
Yes.
The train in Isaiah that I read about, it's not my fault if you don't have if you're not going to allow the Holy Ghost to show you that train.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to describe it to you. You can see it just like I see it when I read it.
Yes.
Because the Holy Ghost will do that.
Yes.
Otherwise, you'll always be like this, like you're about to fall. About to fall. Pray for me that I don't fall. I'm not going to pray for you if you don't fall. You need to make up your mind that Jesus is real.
Yeah, that's right.
And that he saves to the uttermost.
Yes.
And you need to stop thinking that he saved Bishop Smith, but Bishop Smith is so much greater than me. I ain't sure he'll save me or not. God is not a respecter of persons.
Yeah, that's right.
Every one of us was born in sin and shaped in iniquity.
Yeah, that's right.
And got more iniquity left.
That's right.
Than what we would like you to know.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, can I tell a secret? Let me tell you a secret. One more secret. Shall I tell you a secret?
Yeah.
What we don't seem to get until the Holy Ghost reveals it to you is that you only keep secrets from us, you don't keep any from God.
That's right.
And everything that you do that you hope we don't find out about, God already knows.
God All right. Yes, he does.
You already know. And the idea is, when you get the revelation that God already knows, you come to the point of saying, there's nothing hidden from God. I need to stop doing it. So I have to stop, so I can stop repenting about it. And then when you say, well, I can't stop doing it, then you need to go to prayer and fasting. Say, Lord, help me. And you have to pray like David. David said, Lord, you have to deliver me. He says, because they'll deliver me from men that are too strong for me.
Yes.
And you have to ask God, Lord, deliver me from something that's too strong for me.
Yes.
But you'll waste time. Yes. If the only thing you do is, it's nice to dance. I watched the dance tonight, and I said, this is really nice. I'm enjoying this. You waste time if all your time is dedicated to whether or not you can dance or not.
Yes.
Whether or not you can be in the number or not. Sometimes you don't need to be in the number. Sometimes you need to be all by yourself.
Yes.
Sometimes you need to get someplace and hear what the Lord has to say.
Yes.
I'm going to say this now. I really am through. We criticize Elijah after he has called down fire, after he has killed Jezebel's priest. Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you. And then Elijah takes off running. When he kills the priest, he had help. Everybody jumps in. Hey, we're killing priests down here. But when Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you, everybody abandoned him. And he's all by himself. And he needs to be. Because God has something for him to do, and he's the only person who can do it. He has to anoint a king. He has to appoint a replacement. And he has to get rid of Jezebel. It's not for everybody, it's just for him. And he takes off running. Because even though they were with him in the part they liked, when it came down to just going before God and getting the next assignment, everybody else went home.
Yes.
If he decided that he was just going to stop after doing that, you know how it is? You just want to be a part of the praise and part of the crowd and part of the number, you'll never get your assignment.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because the same people going to do all the preaching. Same people going to do all the singing. Same people going to do all the everything. And you're just in the number. You're never going to get called out. Because you insist on being in the number. And you'll never get to the point where God gets you all by yourself. Because you insist on, because everybody keeps telling you, you need to be in the number. You need to be in the number. My God, you've been in the number for the last 10 years. By now, if that was working, you ought to have great power.
Yeah.
Don't you wonder sometimes? I'm not about to fall. Everybody's saying. And it's not because I'm not great. It's because I know who Jesus is.
Amen.
Say, are you saying you can't fall? Mm-mm. Not saying that. Just the opposite. We're kept by his power divine. There we are. Stop thinking you're going to fall unless you're not sure about heaven. The only way you're not going to stand is if you're not completely sure of yourself whether Jesus lives or not. And if you've made up your mind that Jesus, you believe in Jesus lives, it's just as strong as me believing Jesus lives. There's no difference. Tell me again that Jesus lives. No. I'll tell you again. By now you need to know.
Yes.
By now you need to know that heaven is real.
Yes.
You need to know the Holy Ghost is everywhere. You need to know that he dwells in you and knows everything about you.
Yes.
You also need to know that the only person who limits his capacity to move in you is you. You hold him back.
Yes.
Because when he would say to you, when he would move, you won't move. When he would say believe, I'm not sure whether I want to believe or not. I need to ask somebody if I should believe. No, by now, you need to make up your mind. The word of God is truth. The word of God is
truth.
Read it. Says, look. My Bible says. If I believe in Jesus, and I do, and I believe he's the Son of God, and I do, and I believe that he died for me, was resurrected from the dead, and I do, I believe that God the Father raised him up, and I do, and I believe I have the Holy Ghost. One of the earliest lessons I learned way back in Faith Temple in 1982. You know what they told me about having the Holy Ghost? When you ask the Lord to save you, you ask the Holy Ghost come in, you got to believe that he does.
Yes.
And not wait for somebody else to tell you.
You got it. You got it.
When you ask him to come in, he does.
He does.
How are you praying and asking God in the name of Jesus to heal this person, deliver this person, Lord bless me here, Lord bless me there, and you haven't believed that he gave you the Holy Ghost when you asked him for the Holy Ghost? How are you believing him for all these other things that you're praying for? God gonna live, God gonna do all these things, and you can't believe him for the very first thing that he does is gives you the Holy Ghost. Immediately when you come down this aisle, before he saves you, the Holy Ghost steps in. When he saves you, the Holy Ghost comes. Can't believe you're not saved and wonder whether or not you got the Holy Ghost. Well, I didn't get it like somebody else. I didn't see Jesus at the minute at noon. He didn't show up for me like brighter than the midday sun. I can't say like Isaiah. What did Isaiah say? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He said, I was carried up and I saw him and his train filled the temple. I didn't get that. I wasn't down by the wine press and have the Lord show up to me like Gideon and said, I need you. I didn't have that experience. I didn't see a ladder come down from heaven and angels going back and forth. I didn't wrestle with God all night. And any one of them could have said, well, unless you got it like that, you ain't got it. Unless you did like that. I've never been in a fiery furnace, but I believe it was one. And I don't think it was just in their mind. It was real. I didn't cross through the Red Sea. I would have loved to. I didn't walk across I wasn't there for the drying up of the Jordan. But I'm going to tell you this. Because the prophet said, if you can't walk with the footmen, how are you going to run when the horsemen? If you can't walk with the footmen, if just everyday life you're not sure how you're going to make it from day to day, what you going to do when trouble comes? How you going to make it? Somewhere along the line, you have to say to yourself, I'm saved. I'm saved. End of story. And I'm going to tell you the second part that comes with it. When you make up your mind, you're saved. You start avoiding people who question your salvation. Yes, you do.
Yes.
You get tired of hearing people challenge your salvation.
Yes.
Because you know you are saved. And every time when people preach like that, where they're challenging your salvation, you know what you do? You say, that ain't for me.
That's right.
But I'm saved.
Amen.
You ain't crying no tears, baby. That's right, because I've had joy, 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 more joy.
Yes.
And I wonder what your tears are all about.
Yes.
If you enjoy like me, you wouldn't be crying either.
No,
unless your tears of joy.
Yes.
Come on, just say to me all the time. You ain't crazy. Taste the salt and the tears. I cried enough as a baby and as a young child forever.
Yes.
See, if you cried since you've been saved, yes, but you didn't even see it. Yes. Matter of fact, the reason why I did cry is because I was there all by myself.
Yes.
And I could pour myself out to God. What do you want me to do? Put on performance for you?
Right.
Cry so you'll see the tears? You ain't answering my prayer.
That's right.
You don't know where my Holy Spirit went with me in prayer.
That's right.
Oh, try, man. I thought you were praying. Why are you watching me?
How do you monitor my prayer? I was probably praying more than you. I wasn't monitoring yours. You have to make up your mind about God, that the Spirit will give you wisdom and
revelation.
Paul had the wisdom to say to them, the law is done.
Yes.
He had the wisdom to say, the law is
done.
Where did he get that from?
The Holy Ghost.
Yes.
He had the wisdom to say, the law is done. And they were still saying, but you got to be circumcised, Paul says. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
He says, because the Holy Ghost showed me that that just represented the cutting away of the circumcision of the heart.
Yes.
Cutting away the world of the heart. He said, God did that for a covenant. Don't need to do that no more because Jesus is coming.
Yes. Yes.
And they were saying, no, you still got to do that.
Yes.
But because he had the spirit of wisdom and the Holy Ghost's revelation, he had come. Everybody lift your hands. Do something good in my life. Something good in my life. Something good in my life. Oh Lord. Do something good in my life. Good in my life. All your life. You got to always say to yourself, I'm saved. All your life, you have to say, I'm saved. Sometimes you need to just declare to yourself, I am saved.
My life.
Yes, I am.